What's good, family? Welcome to the Ministry Zoo, episode number 32. This is the Ministry Zoo with Wes and Jess. I am Wes Ayers here with the breathtaking D-Step. It's so good to see you, my man. We've had some rain.
Yes.
Things are looking good. It's got a nice chill in the air outside. I like it. It feels good. You look good. How you feeling?
You do too. And it's good to see you and good to be with everybody today. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm glad that you like the cold. It sounds like there's something you are excited about.
I enjoy the cold.
Not everybody that's a part of the Ministry Zoo does, including me. And no, I do not mind it from time to time. What I do mind is going from, and this is not a knock against God. He controls all of those things.
Sure.
But what I don't care for is going from 70 one day to, you know, 40 the next.
Oh, man, that was insane.
And, awesome. That's kind of what we've had. And a lot of this, you know, 30s and 40s in the morning and then 60s, mid-60s in the afternoons.
For sure.
And it's just really hard to – it's hard on your body. It's been hard on our kid.
Yeah.
You know, he's had some sinus issues. Lori had some sinus issues. I don't know. I just don't like it when my fingers and toes are cold. That's my issue.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have this extra layer of insulation that you don't have. It's called being overweight. So the cold weather doesn't bother me as much, but it has bothered our kids, like you said. And, you know, it's just been – it's wreaked havoc on their sinuses.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just been terrible. And
apparently it's been a big deal in the schools. You know, Colbert County closed down for a day and mm-hmm. cleaned up, and Lauderdale County did the same thing. And – here at Killen, we got one of our members who is going to make some announcements tonight and Sunday, try to get some what are they called? Some like Clorox wipes and take them to the schools. And so, you know, it's just one of those things you deal with this time of year. But I do like the cold. I think your wife likes the cold. I saw what she keeps the thermostat on 52, 58.
I mean, well, it's not quite that low, but I actually had to go turn it up the other day. It was whatever day it was really cold. I think it was Monday.
Mm-hmm.
It was on 60.
Yeah.
So I had to go crank that bad boy up.
That's not happening in our house. Sorry.
It was a little chilly even for me. So, I had to go crank that up. But, you know, we're dealing and excited about today. We've had a busy day so far and got some things going on after we do the show here. But tell us what's been going on with you.
Well, just most recently, Brennan's basketball is kind of coming to a close, and it's kind of happened.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of happened pretty fast.
Yeah.
He had two games this past week, lost both of them. He was terribly upset, didn't have his head in the game. I pulled him out of the game, and that was that. And I'm not the coach, but I leaned up to one of the guys that was – he's not a coach on the team. I don't really know who he is, but he was you know, in charge of taking the kids in and out of the game. And I said, look, he's out there pouting. He's whining. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm not trying to bash my kid. But he was. And we had this discussion with him. Like, you can't do that. You can't cry so much that you're not helping your team.
Yeah.
And I know they're 6 years old.
Right.
But I've told him, you know, I don't care if you miss every shot. I don't care if you win any games at all.
Mm-hmm.
What I want you to do is try, and I want you to help your team. I want you to have a good attitude and have fun.
Right.
And he wasn't. None of those things. And
that's
so
tough.
I pulled him out of the game and you know, and we explained to, there was like 2 minutes left, so it wasn't that big a deal.
Right.
But he has taken it hard. He's fallen in love with basketball. He's got two games left, and I told him, and his mom told him, as long as you're having fun and you've got a good attitude, you can play. As soon as we see that he was throwing his hands up in the air every time the other team would score. And I was like, and looking up at the scoreboard, he is just that, he's that into it. And I get that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, I told him, you know, we'll take you out if you have this again. But we have really loved watching him play. It's the first time he's a 6-year-old, so he's going to have some meltdowns. But,
for sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm 30. I still have meltdowns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, of course. You were doing that a little bit before the show. No, I'm just kidding. You weren't. So anyway, so he's got two more games Saturday. I'm excited about watching him in the last two games. I'm also excited about having some Saturdays freed up.
Yes.
But anyway, it's been fun. And let's see, Sunday night we had what was our first teen/college devotional.
Mm-hmm.
We really enjoyed that. Was talking to Gil Carter, who is one of our new college students. He graduated this past year. And he texted me and said he and Tyler, our college minister, had been talking about getting together some. And I said, why don't y'all just come to the devotional and we can just kind of tag team. And so we enjoyed that, had a big group for that. That was really encouraging. I would encourage you guys, if you haven't done anything with your college students, you know, sometimes that's kind of a forgotten group, especially if you don't have a college minister. It's yeah. like you've graduated now, you're not in the youth group, you're really not in the adult classes yet.
Yeah, you're just kind of hanging in the balance.
Just kind of hanging in the balance. Yep. So, you know, do a little something together. That's always good. And I want to give a shout out today to Joseph Pyle. I have no idea what he is up to today. That kid is all over the place. But he was my youth intern. He's my good friend. And I just wanted to say happy birthday to Joseph Pyle.
Now he's been he's kind of a mission guy, right? I mean, he's been overseas a couple of times.
He has. He really likes overseas mission work. The most recent, he was out of the country for study abroad. It wasn't necessarily mission work.
I got you.
But he's very involved. In fact, his whole family, really, they're just great, faithful Christians. In fact, his mom is cooking supper for us tonight. And
awesome.
And she doesn't even have any kids in the youth group anymore. But his sister and older brother have both been involved in mission work. They all go to, all three of them go to Harding. Well, I think Andrew's done now, but they're all students at Harding and
awesome.
Have just been great additions to the church and the kingdom.
Wow!
So cool. That's kind of what's been going on with me. What about you? What have you been getting into?
Well, you know, Sunday was our senior citizens banquet. We kind of tied that into Valentine's Day, and mm-hmm. so that was Sunday afternoon, and just really cool to be able to experience that, spend that time with those people, and our young people serve the food and serve drinks and all that stuff. And so that's really neat to sit back and watch, and just honored to be a part of that. Yesterday was kind of a cool day. I got a call earlier in the week, you know, Sunday night late, about working with the nursing home yesterday for their Valentine's banquet. So I got to escort and introduce some of the candidates for the King and Queen of Lauderdale mm-hmm. Christian for Valentine's Day yesterday.
Oh, that's neat.
So it was really cool to be a part of that, you know, and they were all dressed up and some of their family members were there, and man, it was just really, really neat and to be a part of that. So I was very honored to be a part of that. That's where I spent a lot of my day yesterday and just spending time with them. And this morning I spoke at Rogers High School at the devotional.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, called for an early morning. But,
yes.
Man, it was so worth it, you know, just to be there with those kids. And, you know, big shout out to Greg Dial for opening his classroom and allowing that mm-hmm. to happen, and Eddie Matthews and all the young teenagers who kind of put that together. So it's really neat to be a part of that. So really involved with lots of cool stuff this week. Of course, Bible studies this evening. So, you know, it's just, it's getting to that really busy time. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. everything's been planned and we've talked about this before and everything's just on the calendar and you're starting to move. You know, we're kind of moving from the standard calendar stuff to the extra stuff that's plugged into the calendar. So
yeah.
It's starting to get busy, and I know everybody watching, listening, and you included, starting to get busy, but man, it's just great to be able to spend that time. You know, if somebody calls you on a late notice, you can go, and mm-hmm. It's really cool to be a part of that. So that's kind of what I've been into, and
cool.
You know, trying to get the kids healthy, like we talked about from the beginning. You know, Chapman has really struggled with the sinus stuff. Pearson's kind of bounced back, and knock on wood, he's doing really, really good. So,
yeah,
hopefully, if we can get Chapman better soon, it'll be awesome. But today we have a interesting, and unique topic. We're talking about creating an atmosphere of unity within your group. Between some people, it will be very easy. And then there will be some that it will be a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the dynamic of dealing with human beings. There will be people that can plug in, and then there will be people that you have to plug in. So we're going to talk some ways about some things that you can do and some things that you don't do, and why it's important to have unity within your group, some of the things that it can do to help the atmosphere of your youth group if you have unity within it. So we have a first word today, which is cool.
Yep.
I always enjoy when we have these. So let Jess share the first word with you.
Let me go ahead and say also welcome to those that have joined on Facebook Live since we began. Paul Sperling says, what's up, guys?
And, hey, Paul.
We would say hey to Paul. We appreciate you listening in. Of course, Paul has his own podcast and radio show that is just excellent.
Yeah, so it's pretty
check,
cool.
Check the John and Paul show out. So the first word this morning, Rachel Blom wrote, unity in our youth group is something we should strive for. Jesus himself said it. Our unity as Christians, our love for one another is the most powerful testimony we have. And she references John 13:35 and John 17:20 through 23. She goes on to say, Jesus was right, as always. Unity draws people to God. So we should do everything we can to promote unity. But unity doesn't come easy in a youth group. It can be a real struggle to try and get teens or students to even respect each other, let alone love each other. That shouldn't stop us from trying. And she's totally right about that, what she's saying. This is just an excerpt from a longer article that she wrote about unity in the youth group. She gives some suggestions as to what we can do to promote unity within our youth groups. And so we're going to discuss some of those things that she mentioned in the article on creating unity in your small group. That was kind of the title of her article.
Right.
And then we'll sprinkle in some of our own ideas as well. So we've got about three do's and three don'ts. Just keeping it real simple today, easy to remember three of each things. But before that, let's talk a little bit about, just briefly, why unity is so important.
Right.
Because before we start talking about it, I think we really need to understand that unity is something that is just vital for the church. It's vital for the church in general, especially when you're talking about smaller groups within the church,
mm-hmm.
Because that's if you have a larger church, and what I mean larger, that's kind of defined in the United States as 100 members or larger.
Yeah.
You really do need to have some type of smaller group ministry. It doesn't necessarily mean you're doing that only on Sunday nights like some churches are doing, which is great. But when you have smaller groups that are meeting at different times, visitation groups, groups that are meeting by classroom, by age, whatever, and youth groups as well, people need to be getting along and need to be encouraging to one another.
For sure.
There's that need to feel important.
Right.
And we all kind of strive to feel important, maybe not to be the best,
mm-hmm.
Or to be better than anybody else, but just to feel important, to right. feel wanted,
yeah.
is kind of just one of those needs we have as humans,
mm-hmm.
and so unity goes a long way, to help with that,
yeah.
To make sure that everybody is feeling important and needed and wanted.
Right, I think too, to feel important is one thing, but you all know the other the other side of the coin when you don't feel so important, and you
right.
know the just the feeling that comes with that and the struggle that comes with that. So yeah, unity is important because it helps people to feel important. But you can accomplish a lot more if there's unity within the
right.
group. You get so much more accomplished simply because everybody's kind of on the same page. Everybody's motivated. Everybody's excited about what the goal is, what the end result could potentially be. So if everybody in the group has a united front and they're all, everybody's headed in the same direction, you can just get so much more accomplished. And while we were looking at this and thinking about this, I was thinking about, we're Alabama fans. And if you're not, I'm sorry, but we have room for you. you think about the way that Nick Saban, and listen, I don't approve of everything that guy does. So I'm not promoting that he's a jewel of a human being. I think he knows how to do things, and he knows how to handle things, and he knows how to get things accomplished. But it's because there's a sense of unity. Everybody's focused on the same thing, and everybody feels like they're a part. Everybody has their job. Everybody has their responsibilities. So I feel like that's why unity is important to him, because everybody's focused on the same goal, and when they are and in that direction, so much more can get accomplished because of the unity that's within the group.
I agree. And it's just like, when I told you, Brennan kind of had his little meltdown, and
right.
And we've dealt with that. But when you have that happen, on a larger scale, you've got somebody that you know, is not contributing to, is not, you know, helping the way that they could, then you're not going to get as much done. And that's exactly what you're talking about. And we had that discussion with him, that old saying that the a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. We had to explain what that meant to him,
right?
You know, and we've got to make sure that we're all working together and we're all unified in what we're doing and our goals and things that we're trying to accomplish. And you can get more done. Mm-hmm. A lot of that is because this next reason why unity is so important is because when you are working together and you're accomplishing more, it encourages each other more. You just feel better about what you're doing.
Yeah.
And part of that encouragement is that you get this sense that you're not alone.
Right.
That, you know, because sometimes we get in this and you feel like, am I the only one that's putting in any effort? Am I the only one that's actually trying?
Right.
And when you're working together as a unified body, and everybody's feeling important, everybody's feeling needed, and you're accomplishing your goals and you know what you're setting out to do as a group, whatever kind of group, it could be, you know, volleyball, or it could be basketball, it could be sports. Of course, we're talking about youth group, you know, we're talking about encouraging, making an impact, and helping others get to heaven. Mm-hmm. And you just feel included, and it encourages and lets you know, look, so and so over there is trying. So and so over here, they're making an effort. So and so over here, they're really putting in the effort, and they got a lot of zeal. And it's very encouraging to know I'm not the only one that is putting in the effort. And so, you know, I love it when I see teenagers, when I see the youth group, you know, doing that, initiating that themselves. Mm-hmm. Because what that tells me is that encouragement is working.
Yeah,
you know, and they're feeding off of one another. So unity is just so important.
Absolutely.
If you're going to try to get any type of job done, any kind of good for the kingdom, there's got to be unity. I mean, there's so much in the Bible that talks about, you know, working together.
Yeah,
And so it's important if you're going to set out to accomplish a goal. It's very important. So what we want to do now is just kind of transition into talking about a few do's and don'ts of, you know, how to be unified or creating that atmosphere of unity. And Wes is going to get us kicked off. We're going to talk about the do's first, some things that you probably should be doing to create that atmosphere.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously you spend time, you know, doing certain events, retreats, things like that, that you try to build some unity around. But some things that you want to consider doing while you're trying to build the atmosphere of unity. And the first one that we really want to talk about is you just got to spend time together. So in spending time together, that encourages a lot of different things. But specifically thinking about for this purpose, do some activities that are just fun, you know, like, that's the main goal. The main goal is to just have some fun, get to know each other, get to spend some time with each other. So I'm going to share something with you.
Okay.
When we have a visitor come to class at Shiloh and they walk in, I put them on the spot from the beginning. Okay. They have to stand up. They have to tell me their full name, where they go to school, what their age is, and the last time they puked.
I'm sorry. Okay. That caught me off guard. So, I was expecting the last one.
Yeah. So everybody knows something about you when you leave. So you're part of the group. So, you know, sometimes we'll turn the tables and the people will have to tell the visitor when the last time they puked was or whatever the case might be. I know that's kind of gross, but that's something that you'll never forget. And it's kind of fun.
That's true.
You know, and sometimes we'll get the, I don't know when the last time I puked was. So then we have to revert to other questions. You know, what's the last time you went to the hospital? Why? You know, that kind of thing. So, you know, do something that's fun that they can laugh about. You know, I understand the importance of structured events, and you got to have those, and you got to have those sit down and those unique, hard to have talks sometimes. But sometimes they just need to have fun where they know that they're still growing, but they're getting to know each other. And the main purpose has to be just to have fun and get to know each other better.
And don't get us wrong. We're not saying, you know, don't do anything spiritual in those times. You know,
I would
definitely support you, you know, having prayer or some kind of, you know, discussion at some point. But, you know, that there's this old, you know, battle between, do every time you get together has to be a spiritual activity.
Right.
And I don't feel like that. I feel like anytime Christians are together, that's kind of spiritual time.
Right.
You know, because you're in a spiritual positive atmosphere and mm-hmm. you're going to pray, you're going to encourage. And I just think sometimes, you know, like Wes said, sometimes we just need time to get to know each other, because if you only get together for devotionals, you're spending your time singing and praying and listening, and there's not that fellowship, you know, opportunity to just really get to, you know, get to know each other, mm-hmm. you know, like you're going to. If you just plan some fun activities, you know, mix it up, you know, mix it up a little bit. You know, this some things we've done, just fun things. We've gone ice skating. We've gone to the Insanity Complex, which has a rock wall. They've got putt-putt, you know, different things like that. Sure. Fun, just fun activities, cheap activities you can do just to get to know each other and have fun and encourage. Mm-hmm. And don't devalue that time. Don't underestimate that time, because you'll start to see, the more you do things like that, you'll start to see them talking with students that they don't normally talk to, laughing with students they don't normally laugh with. Yeah. I can remember back when we were at Atlas and we were going to Evangelism University, and I was pretty green as far as youth ministry goes.
Right.
We have had some students that did go. They're pretty shy. And just the bus rides were just a blast.
Yeah.
One of the girls got some fudge, and she got hyper on fudge, and it just it had us rolling.
Yeah.
And you start to see different sides of students that you don't normally, and they're seeing the different sides of each other that they don't normally.
Right.
And they're drawn to that, you know, and so just spend some time together.
Yeah.
And that'll go a long way.
And one thing before you go forward.
Sure.
Always keep in mind that as the leader of the group, when you put these things together, don't exclude yourself from those things. Put yourself in the middle of it so that they're able to see and know that you're involved with it too, because they want to see you having fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as somebody who works with young people, you don't want to be portrayed as like a stick in the mud. You just don't want to be the non-fun guy. I mean, they want to know that they're going to have somebody that can hold them accountable, sure, spiritually and just in everyday life, absolutely. But they want to know that, you know, you can kick back and have a good time with mm-hmm. them too. So you're mm-hmm. you're just not out of their level completely. You can have a good time, and that's what they need to see from us, and we need to spend that time with them.
Well, you need to be included in that unity. You know, I mean, that's important too. And sometimes as the youth minister, we sit back and we watch them do their thing, and there's a time for that. But we need to be included in that too, because, you know, it's that whole thing about, you know, does the leader tell you to do something, or does he show you by getting down there and doing the thing that he's saying, let's do. It's this whole, you know, let's do this as opposed to you go do that.
Right.
And you need to be involved in that as well. And I think that's possibly where it starts, you know, is your relationship with them.
Yeah.
Another thing that I think you do need to do is be specific in pairing the teens up at random, you know. And what I mean by that is, you know, kind of assess, okay, well, you know, these four students are really close to each other, and these four students are real close to each other, but they're not talking a whole lot. And I'm not saying let's create an uncomfortable atmosphere all the time, but every now and then it might not hurt to call out and say, okay, for this next activity, you and you are going to be paired up, and you are going to be paired up, and pair them up with students that they don't normally talk to so that they can have that time to get together, whether it's you know, a game, you're having a game night and you're going to pair them up on teams, whether it's a class activity, okay, y'all go work on this sheet together and y'all go work on this sheet together. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not saying do it all the time. You know, if you're at a retreat, you don't want to pair up, you know, students that you know it's going to be awkward.
Yeah.
You don't want to pair them up all weekend and make them only be with, you know, that other person all weekend, because they're going to hate it. They're not going to have a good time. But somewhere in that weekend, you know, change it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be getting to know, you know, each other and maybe have some kind of questionnaire for them at some point where they can, you know, an icebreaker, where they can get to know each other. But, you know, just make sure that it's random and make sure that it's specific.
Yeah.
You know, it has a purpose of getting them together to get to know one another a little bit better. I think that's a pretty good suggestion.
Yeah, I think it's important. And I can remember just sitting here, and I can, man, I can visualize, I can see this like I'm standing there right now. We were on a retreat in Tishomingo when I was in the youth group. And so all weekend long, we had been on these teams. And so the people that we were comfortable with, we would line up every other one because, you know, Matt would go through and count us off 1-2, 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
So the last game that we were going to play, we line up that way, and he just starts running down the line and pointing at random people, putting mm-hmm. you on different teams. And that was the first time that I really realized that, you know, maybe I should be with somebody else. Maybe I should kind of step out of my comfort zone. And, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, there were some people that were aggravated about that. And then there were some people who were like, okay, yeah, we can make this happen. So
yeah,
it's important to mix it up and put people with people, you know, because there sometimes I mean, you can't rely on teenagers to do that by themselves.
Right.
So, you know, we've got to put that with them. And you could open up a whole different avenue of relationships and friendships. I remember the first time I ever saw Chapel at anything, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to talk to her. I mean, I don't know who she is. I'm not going to talk to her. And so we had a mutual friend, and she just kind of introduced us. And, you know, that changed the history. That changed everything about
right.
what I thought about her and how I felt about her. And, you know, and now I'm 30, and I still talk to Chapel Davis Ayers every single day
mm-hmm.
because, you know, she's my best friend. And so when you never know what you're going to create by making sure that you put them in different situations. And I think it's unique to do that.
Let me say a couple more things to add to that. As you were talking, it got me thinking, just in addition to that, just understand that it is going to be uncomfortable for them to do that.
Mm.
You know, mm-hmm. it for some less than others, but that doesn't mean that you know, don't do it.
Right.
You know, just understand that at first it might be uncomfortable. So, you know, that's why I said be specific about it and be purposeful about it. You know, don't make that time super long when you know that, you know, they already probably are not as close to those people as others.
Right.
So, you know, give it a time frame. Another thing about that is, You really need to assess the ones that are there, too.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is you may have a guy who brought his girlfriend on the retreat
mm-hmm.
or vice versa, or maybe they're in class. I am very cautious about making that visitor pair up with somebody else
mm-hmm.
Other than the person that they came with. So
right.
A lot of times I will give them a pass.
Yeah.
And I will say, okay, well, you can go with your boyfriend or you can go with your girlfriend and you can pair up with them, even though I would really like them to be with somebody else to get to know them.
Yeah.
I just kind of feel like this could change their whole outlook on the whole event.
Right.
You know, so be specific about that too and be mindful about who you're dealing with and what you have. So, and,
sure.
and you can know, the more you know your kids, the more you know what they can handle. So, mm-hmm. you know, use that to your own discretion.
Absolutely. So the last thing we want to talk about as far as the do's, as far as concerned with creating unity in your youth group, change the atmosphere. And by that, we mean go somewhere different.
Yeah.
So like I think about you, where you're at geographically.
Mm-hmm.
There's a park like right across the street. And not Highway 72, not the busy street, but just, you know, Lock 6
Lock
Road
six.
Right here. And you can walk across and you can use that. That's at your disposal. Take the class outside. You know, just do something different that, you know, kind of gets them out of their comfort zone, but they're still with people that they know.
Mm-hmm.
So it creates that, okay, the location is different, but the people are the same. I can rely on these people because they're in the same boat that I am. We've changed what's around us, but the people haven't changed.
And you'd be surprised how a change in atmosphere changes their mindset on what they're doing, whether
yeah.
it's your class or you're having a devotional. We had the Eno Devo last year that we
yeah,
had.
Yeah, those are cool, aren't they?
You know, if we had that devotional in here, it would be meaningful and it would be great and they would sing out. But when we had it over there, they chatted, they talked, they were happy, they had smiles on their face. They shared their Enos with people. I saw some pairing up in Enos that I don't normally see, you know, sharing the couch or, you know, sitting by each other in here. And so change that atmosphere up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Go, like Wes said, if you got a park nearby, maybe have Bible class at the park. You know, have it out in the parking lot, you know, just something to change things up just to get them, you know, get their heads in a different different kind of mindset.
Yeah. And, you know, it's good to shock the system like that sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, just to kind of create something different. And I think that's unique to them, and it creates an attitude of I'm with these people. It doesn't matter where we go. We can do this together. We can, you know, and that's why we go to the escape rooms, because they're fun. But I will look at the people who's pairing them off, and I'll say, okay, if you can put these people with these people,
mm-hmm.
you know, just like the one we did in Pigeon Forge when we were up there for MTY. You know, I don't trust AJ Gooch, but he got us through that. He got us through that, you know, through certain parts of it. I'm just kidding. I love AJ.
AJ didn't get us through anything.
But, but you know,
just kidding.
It's just unique to put yourself in different situations with people that you know, but you haven't really thought about how they can guide you through that situation,
right.
help you. So changing the atmosphere is just super important because we get in a rut.
Yep.
You know, I mean, we just create the same situations over and over and over, change it up a little bit, and you'll really see them start to grow.
There's a little a chapel type of church building that's right down the street from my mother's house.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's on the next block away from her house. I don't know how big it is. I don't know how many it seats. I would say a couple of hundred maybe.
Right.
And I noticed that Ben Hayes, who is the preacher at Highland Park Church of Christ over in Muscle Shoals, one night the whole congregation just went over and had an evening service or devotional. I don't know what it was. In that chapel.
Yeah.
And it's I think it's mostly used as like a wedding chapel now. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of got that cute, small, cottage chapel kind of feel to it.
Awesome.
And he took a picture, he posted it on Facebook. And, that kind of thing is just really cool to me just to take the whole congregation.
Yeah.
You know, I would love it if we took the whole congregation and had a service at the park.
Mm-hmm.
There's some difficulty in that. You got some seating struggles and, you know, some older members who it'd be tough. But, you know, just that kind of thing is kind of what we're saying is just get out of the norm. You know, if they're used to seeing four walls at school all day long,
yeah.
and you bring them to the church building every time and you're looking at four walls again mm-hmm. in a classroom where there's a podium up front. Sometimes it's just the feeling of togetherness is not always felt
right.
In that. So change it up, not all the time, but every now and then, I think is a good idea.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So those are three do's that we, you know, have encouraged within our own groups and we like to recommend to you. What about some don'ts, Jess? Where would you go with the don't category and unity with your group?
I would say definitely don't force it. Okay. Don't try to make it happen.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Like so bad that you're doing things that are kind of counterproductive to what you want to do. So for instance, and we were talking about this before, but like when you're traveling, okay, mm-hmm. let's take a retreat. You guys have got, you know, there's CYC coming up. We're going to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
In both cases, you're going to be probably in several vehicles,
right.
you know, two or three vans or church buses or personal vehicles. Yeah, you can assign seats and you can make a chart and you can say, well, you're sitting on this bus in this seat. And you're sitting on this one, and I'm changing it up, and I'm making it so you're not going to sit by people you normally would.
Yeah.
You could do that, but to me, that's forcing the unity a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to have enough conversational topics and things in common to talk for 5 or 6 hours?
Yeah.
And same thing when you get there. Are you going to assign them rooms or let them kind of choose naturally where they go? Now, you know, the part about that you got to be careful about is you want to make sure still that nobody's being left out.
Right.
In other words, if you've got a room or several rooms and, you know, there's one or two girls that, you know, they're going to be by themselves and they're kind of being left out. Now, you'll want to come in and kind of facilitate that. Maybe you let the teens pick ahead of time, and then you get to look over it a little bit, and then you can change that a little bit. You can add in where you see, oh, well, this girl or this guy looks like they're just the odd man out. It's not that anybody's trying to be mean. They're just the odd man out.
Right.
Well, then go in there and tell, you know, whoever's in this room, well, we're going to put so-and-so in your room as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never had anybody say, no, they can't be, you know, I don't want them. It's just,
right.
Oh, yeah, you know, put them in there.
Bring them on.
You know, we didn't realize they didn't have a spot or she didn't have a spot.
Right.
And so don't force it and say, here's how it's got to be for the whole weekend. I know you don't normally talk to these people, but you're going to, and we're going to. No, through the weekend, I think what we were talking earlier, you can plan some things and be purposeful about that time when they are with different people, but I would definitely not force it to where you're making them sit by certain people the whole time.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it makes sense because, you know, it can be, like you said, it's almost counterproductive.
Yep.
Because you feel like you're doing the right thing, but in fact, what you're doing is maybe creating a greater divide because they start to resent that. It's like, when am I going to get out of here?
Yeah.
I mean, when can we do something different? So, yeah, I'm with you. Absolutely. Don't force it. You know, put them in an environment where they can create some unity in a relationship, but do not just, I guess, cram it down their throats. A good way to say it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can overkill for sure. One thing that I guess I almost struggled with this pretty hard when I first started in youth ministry, was overpraising one group over another. And I guess one way to classify that would be like, I mean, I was in band, so. You know, the band kids that were in the youth group, I had a good relationship with, you know, so like the band versus the football team. We've got a great football team at Rogers. I mean, they're phenomenal. First undefeated season they've ever, you know, had. And, you know, so we've got several football players there. It would become real easy to just brag on the football players all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got a great band too, you know.
Yep.
An award-winning band there. And we've got award-winning cheerleaders. And, you know, I mean – it just becomes easy to get caught up in one thing over the other, especially if you enjoy one thing and you've been a part of something as opposed to the other things that the kids are involved in. We just can't make the mistake of, I'm going to pay more attention to them because I feel more comfortable with it. I guess is what I'm trying to say is you just can't give more recognition to one group than you can the other. Brag on all your kids because it doesn't matter what they're involved in. They love it and they work hard on it and they want you to be proud of them.
Mm-hmm. And you're in a unique situation too because y'all's church building is, I mean, for all intents and purposes, it's across the street from Rogers High School. You went to Rogers High School.
I did.
You were in Rogers High School marching band.
Yeah.
And I could see it being, and most, now I don't know what the percentage is, most all your students go to Rogers.
Yeah.
So, you know, I could see where it would be very easy to, for you to be preferential to Rogers.
Yeah.
You know, the school.
Sure.
And so it might be a big challenge for Wes to praise Rogers and talk about Rogers over, you know, even if he has two or three kids that go to other schools. And so you want to divide that attention. You just you have to be mindful about that. Mm-hmm. You can't show, because those other two or three students, whoever, however many there are, they're going to say, well, my school never gets mentioned.
Sure.
And my school never gets any attention. And so I just don't fit in here. Well, that doesn't do anything to help their attitude towards the Rogers students.
Right.
You know, we've got about five or six different students represented at Killen. I didn't go to school around here. I'm from Russellville, which is far enough away that it, you know, I don't get caught up in the rivalries and things up here, but it's still close enough that some of the teams do play Russellville. And so, you know, I just deny myself of any pride in my alma mater. Now, in front of them, I'm talking about.
Sure.
And so, you know, we went to prayer group the Friday that Brooks was playing Russellville, and I told him, I said, you know, I've been living in this area a long time. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm from Russellville. I went to school at Russellville, but I really hope that y'all do well tonight. I really, you know, I'm pulling for Brooks and, you know, and that kind of deal. And that kind of attitude, I think, helps a lot when you're dealing with, you know, showing preferential treatment over one school or one group. But yeah, I mean, if everybody knows the good teams, the good, you know, organizations, and, you know, it can become a resentful thing if the volleyball team, you know, maybe they're not doing so well, but they don't get mentioned, they don't get propped up, and so, or whoever it might be. And so I would try really hard to just make sure that you're not leaving any groups out. Now, it's going to be really hard to include every single group.
Sure.
And you may not even know some of the groups your students are involved in, but just try to be mindful about that, because you don't want them to feel like, well, they're more important than our school or our group.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, when it comes to creating unity, there are some things that you can do and some things that you need to steer away from. And so we've mentioned some of those, and we're thankful that we've had the opportunity to share some of those with you today. We encourage you to give us some feedback. I did see one comment on the Facebook feed that said it's all about the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's crucial for us to remember is, you know, the people that you surround yourself with and the people that you put them with, it's about the relationships that you're creating. And, you know, it's crucial for us to create good relationships, have good relationships with the people around us, and unity will grow with good relationships. So I think that's great to mention. So,
yeah, like Colin Little, he just left a comment there that said a sense of community is needed in the aspect of unity. And that's what we see in Acts chapter 2 when the church is established, and it shocked their world. It shocked, you know, who they were. They're all there from different areas, and they come together. They come together in unity, and they see their brother and sister over here struggling, so they sell what they have so that they can give to the needy and help the church out. And, you know, that kind of an attitude is definitely what can take us so far in working together for the Lord's kingdom to accomplish the goals that we set out to accomplish in making an impact and reaching the lost. And it's just not going to get it done if we can't get along. And so we've got to have that. I mean, we see the world right now is in a state of divide, and it's disheartening, really. And so, you know, unity is not just something unique for the church or for a youth group. We need it throughout the world. We need it in this country. Boy, I've really enjoyed the talk today. I've really enjoyed this discussion.
Yeah, it's been really good.
We want you to keep commenting either on the Facebook page or comment, send us some emails, or, you know, just keep the discussion going. What can we do to promote unity? What can we do to create a better atmosphere of unity in our youth groups?
Yeah, because we need it, because it's all about the relationships.
That's right.
Jess, final rush time. What's coming up?
Well, just, you know, still got my mind on the beach retreat coming up next Thursday. And, you know, even today making phone calls before we met up here to, you know, try to get some things nailed down for that. Super excited about that. Coming up tonight, we've got 121. So cool. We'll have supper and service project. So I'm looking forward to that and having some good food, eating a good meal with our youth group, and then working on some good things to help the people around us.
Awesome.
What about you?
You know, we just got, I mean, it's wide open. I mean, Shoals Area Youth Series coming up Sunday night, so that's obviously on the calendar, making plans for that. We have a meeting to get ready for CYC Sunday, because we'll leave on Thursday. We'll leave a week from tomorrow.
That's right.
So, you know, kind of the same situation with you, just nailing down some final travel plans, things like that. So, you know, it's just an exciting time. It's a growing, busy time, and I love it. And it just kind of, you know, refreshes me to know that we've got so many things that can be constructive and help people to grow in their spirituality. It's just it's a fun time. It's just really fun.
Yeah. So we love what we do. I mean, there's no doubt.
Yeah. You know, we're just blessed to be here and blessed to have good people around us. It's just God is really taking care of us, and we thank Him and give Him all the glory for that. So we want to hear your comments, your questions, your feedback, and Jess is going to tell you how to get in touch with us for those said things.
Yeah, so some ways you can find us and get in touch with us. You can find us on iTunes and Google Play, Podomatic app. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/MinistryZoo. We are at Ministry Zoo on Twitter. You can find us on the AIM app or go to adventuresinministry.com. And definitely you can get in touch with us the quickest way through our email, which is ministryzoo@gmail.com. And again, we covet your suggestions. We covet your prayers as we get into these things. We also would love to hear about things you would like us to talk about, topics that you would like to discuss.
For sure.
And so give us a holler.
Absolutely. It's been great being with you. We hope that you will tune in with us next time. Take care, and we'll see you again. Go Cubs.
Go Braves.